Heavenly Father, we just ask that as we look at your word now, please encourage us, please rebuke and please correct us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure there's times where you've found yourself picking up after other people, whether it's clearing away their dishes or picking up their wrappers or putting their games away or putting the lid back on the Vegemite and putting it back in the fridge or bringing their washing in. Perhaps it's because they're just lazy, they couldn't be bothered, or maybe they just don't notice the jobs that need doing. And from what I've said so far, it sounds like home, doesn't it? But then it can happen at work too. I'm sure there's times when you've been left with jobs like having to be the one to check the post office box because no one else will do it, the last one out and needing to lock the doors, or the one that gets left every time with the job of changing the toner in the photocopier, or the one that walks into the little kitchenette and has to put the dishes in the dishwasher because no one else has done it, or the one that has to flush the toilet. There's people around you can be just so lazy. And our sermon today, you can see the title. Yes, I think Zach came up with it. What to do with lazy Christians. That's what we're thinking about. And when you have a look at chapter 3, verse 6, it's like a heading over these verses. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, though, when you look at the verse, it doesn't actually use the word lazy, does it? It uses the word idle. So is there a difference between idleness and laziness? I think laziness means not to lift a finger, to leave others to do the work that needs doing, to kind of take a ride on other people's goodwill. I think to be lazy means you ignore or choose not to notice work that is there and could be done or should be done. Whereas maybe idleness is more a case of, yeah, not working, but maybe a person is idle because they can't do the work that's there, or there's no work for them to do. That's a bit different, isn't it? Laziness and idleness. So I guess you can play around with dictionary definitions of idleness and laziness, but more to the point, what's the Apostle Paul talking about? What's he thinking about when he says idleness? So have a look at verse 6. Through verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle. And then the NIV that our Pew Bibles are, the New International Version, have inserted who is idle and disruptive. They're trying to help us here. Who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. So the NIV translators, they're trying to say when Paul's saying idle, he means idle and disruptive and kind of getting up to mischief. So he's addressing Christians with nothing to do and Christians who are misusing their time to be disruptive and idle. And when you look down at chapter 3, verse 11, it kind of fits with what you see there. So these people in Thessalonica, it says they're not busy, they're busy bodies. It sounds like idle and disruptive, doesn't it? And so I'm not opposed to what they've done in chapter 3, verse 6, but sometimes it's helpful to know that they've inserted an extra word. So in verse 6, Paul's not concerned about those who don't have work to do, but about those who are using their idleness to stir up trouble. If you want to split atoms. But also when you look at chapter 3, verse 6, these people, they also don't live according to the teaching they've received from the apostle and his mission partners. They're ignoring what the apostle has taught them. They're troublemakers, stirring up trouble in Thessalonica. Rather than be busy living as a Christian, they're filling their days with being a nuisance. Perhaps they're questioning everything the apostle ever taught. Perhaps they're causing arguments over things that don't matter. Maybe they're stirring up rumours like 2 verses 1 to 2 that Jesus has come back. Maybe that's them. So what do you do with lazy Christians, Christians who are idle when they should be busy, Christians who are choosing to misuse their time? Paul tells us, or he tells those who are willing to listen, that they should keep away from these ones. In 3 verse 6, keep away from lazy and disruptive believers. He calls them believers, so presumably they're Christian. Either that or the apostle is giving them the benefit of the doubt, or maybe they just claim they're Christian. But let's assume that they are believers, they are Christians. So have another look at verse 6 now that we've thought about it a bit. 3 verse 6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live. When you look at the first part of that verse, this is a command. This is a firm instruction from the apostle. This is not a minor thing. And he issues his command, he gives it in the name of the Lord Jesus. It isn't trivial and unimportant. This matters to Jesus, I think you see there. It's important. The believers who are idle and disruptive and ignoring what the apostles have taught, Paul says, distance yourself from them. These ones are ignoring what Paul has taught, and so Paul reminds them. So he says in verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example." He reminds them that he himself, Silas and Timothy, were examples of working hard when they were in Thessalonica. He's not ashamed to spell out exactly how they worked hard. So, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you." Verse 8, "Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we have the right, not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate." So not only has Paul set them an example of working hard, he's also done that intentionally, deliberately modeled hard work for them. Rather than accept the hospitality of food and whatever from the Thessalonians, which he could have accepted, he kind of had a right to it, rather than do that, he chose instead to pay his own way, which meant he and his companions had to work extra hard. Maybe it was another case of them making tents during the day and preaching at night or something like that. But he and his companions, you can see, they made a sacrifice for these people. And now he's saying they intentionally did that as an example. I don't think when they were among them in Thessalonica, I don't think they would have said, "Oh, you could give us that food for nothing, but we'll pay for it." I don't think they were constantly reminding. But now that there's the issue of idleness in Thessalonica, he can point back and say, "We deliberately modeled to you hard work." And as you look at that, yeah, there's a couple of side points, I think, for us to reflect on, not immediately out of the passage, but kind of related. And the first one is, I think, our practice of paying the wages of people who are involved in Christian ministry, like, for example, your minister perhaps, or maybe a university worker perhaps. Our practice of doing that, it's not a bad one. It's more of a formal arrangement than what I expect Paul would have experienced in Thessalonica and elsewhere. I think he would have probably settled for hospitality rather than the award wage. But still, I think Paul would give us the tick in the way that we do things. I think it's right to reimburse someone who's given up other forms of employment to spend their time and their working hours to teach the gospel and care for people. It's a good thing. So I think that's one point of reflection. But the other thing, I think, is as you think about this whole area, I would say as we consider Paul's example, we should beware of people that seek to make money out of Christian ministry. Because here's the apostle giving up what he might rightfully have had, making a sacrifice for the sake of having the Thessalonians hear the gospel. And I think we could do with that reminder too. Christian ministry, being paid to do full-time Christian ministry, is a privilege, not a right. And we should be prepared to give it up for the sake of the gospel. So that's kind of related thoughts. Keep thinking about those things. Come back to the passage. We'll keep stepping through it. I don't think Paul would have been constantly reminding the Thessalonians that he's making this sacrifice, but now that there's the issue of idleness in Thessalonica, he does. He goes, "When we were with you, we set an example. We worked hard." He's not ashamed to hold himself up as an example because he's done nothing wrong. And then he also says in verse 10 that when he was among them, he gave them a rule. Or you could say he gave them a command. It's the same word, exactly the same word that you saw in verse 6. So he says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule or this command." Pretty clear teaching, it sounds like. Verse 10, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." It's a fairly easy equation. You don't work, you don't eat. It's fairly easy to understand. But notice the word in there, the unwilling word. When we looked at this in growth group, someone helpfully pointed that out. It's the one who's not willing to work, who shall not eat. In other words, it's the one who chooses not to work when there's work to be done. They're the one, the lazy one. They're overlooking work that could be done. They don't want to work. they're the ones that shouldn't eat. And I wonder whether, as you try to piece together the context for this, it wouldn't surprise me if the people in Thessalonica back then were living in a much closer community than what we do. So we meet on Sunday, but I'm guessing they would have met in many times during the week, a bit like the early chapters of Acts, perhaps. And so as the Christians shared their lives and their meals together, it sounds like Paul made it clear that those who choose to be lazy, well, they don't eat. And you can try to reconstruct what that might have looked like. Our lives probably look a fair bit different, I think. But Paul's example and his rule are still relevant to us, I reckon. So as Christians who are living for Jesus, we shouldn't be lazy. We should be willing to work. We shouldn't be lazy when we gather together as a church. So when we're gathered together as a church on Sunday, yeah, we shouldn't be so lazy that we leave someone else to do the setting up every week. We shouldn't be so lazy that we leave the same person to do morning tea every week. You can see this is the sermon application which intends to get the rosters filled. No, it's not. When we meet together as a church, we all serve in different ways. We all contribute differently. But if you're just the passenger along for the ride, well, have a look at verse 10. It's there for you. The one who's not willing to work, don't eat. And it's not just why we gather together as a church. I think Christians, as Christians, we ought to have the reputation of being good workers, responsible workers, reliable, dependable, not lazy. I don't think that's too much to read this verse and make that, draw those conclusions. But remember, the point of the passage is that the idle ones here, they're being disruptive, ignoring the apostles' teaching, stirring up trouble. Don't forget that. This is not just about laziness. It's about how you use your idle time. And another point of reflection, when we were looking at this at Growth Group and someone drew attention to the willing word, there will be times when we do need to accept help, when we do need to accept hospitality, when we do need to accept support or even welfare so as to have food on the table. There'll be times when we will be on the receiving end. And for some people, that will be long-term. For others, it'll be indefinite, constantly needing support and help from other people. The rule here in verse 10, I don't think it's against accepting assistance like that. It's a rule against laziness. It's a rule against not wanting to work, but still expecting to be fed. And that's quite different to the prospect of receiving assistance while still being a person who contributes in various other ways. So, yes, there's more to dwell on in this passage. But back to working, stepping through the passage, back to the passage that's in front of us. Next, Paul gives instructions for putting all this into practice. So despite the fact that he set an example when he was among them, despite the fact that he left them a clear rule, he's heard that there's lazy believers among the Thessalonians. And so in verse 11, it says, "We hear there are some among you who are idle and disruptive." They've inserted disruptive again, I think. "They're not busy, they're busy bodies." So in the light of the fact that there's these lazy people stirring up trouble, minding everybody else's business, what Paul does is he gives an instruction to the idle and an instruction to the busy. So verse 12, instruction to the idle, "Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat." There's a firm command and a gentle encouragement. Settle down, earn the food you eat, stop minding everybody else's business. So he has this, he's heard there's lazy people among the church in Thessalonica who are causing trouble, and his instruction is settle down, do some work, earn your keep. I don't think there's anything controversial about that verse at all. You read it and think, yeah, that makes sense. If only the teenagers would understand it, or whoever, insert there. But it's nothing controversial. So he has this word for the lazy, and in verse 12 he has a word for the busy. "And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Let that sink in for a bit. Never tire of doing what is good. Remember the context among lazy Christians. If you're the one left cleaning up after the others, left picking up the pieces, isn't it saying never tire of doing that? Never tire of doing good. If you're hearing this warning, if you're paying attention to the apostles' teaching, don't grow weary of doing that. Because it can be easy when you're the one who keeps getting left with the lockup after church every single week. These bunch of lazy Christians I'm at church with. And all of a sudden, aren't you venturing into the area of being the disruptive one? Minding everyone else's business? You don't know why they're not there to help, and so on. So you can see this, the warning to the idle, settle down, do some work, to the busy, stay busy. Stay, keep on doing good, don't grow weary of doing good. Rather than move down that path of falling into the same trap as the lazy ones, never tire of doing what's right. So what to do with lazy Christians? The apostle, he says, he's set an example, he's given them a rule. There's still lazy Christians in Thessalonica, so he tells the lazy ones what to do, tells the busy ones what to do. But then there's those that don't listen. So if you look at verse 14, take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. So what to do with the ones who aren't going to heed this letter that he's writing, the instructions in this letter? It could be that he's referring to numerous instructions in the letter, but I think when you see the way things come back to 3 verse 6 in this passage, I think here he has in mind the lazy ones who aren't going to listen. I think that's the point. If you look in 3 verse 6, the command there is to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive. You look at the command in verse 12, settle down and get busy. I think he's saying the ones who won't listen to these instructions, distance yourselves from them. Those who listen are to make those who don't listen feel awkward. Feel ashamed is the word that he uses. But this instruction to make them feel awkward, it's not, there's nothing vindictive in it. It's for the benefit of the one who's in the wrong, in the hope that they'll change. So verse 14, take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed, yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Give them the benefit of the doubt, warn them, hope and pray that they will heed and turn. But as you look at verse 14 in particular, it's a bit of a puzzle for us, isn't it? I mean, how do you do that? How do you put it into practice? What would it look like for us to put verse 14 into practice? I'm guessing, like I said before, back then they were probably living in closer community, so seeing a lot more of each other than just Sunday church. So to not associate might mean not being involved in the shenanigans of these lazy people, not getting into their idle activities, not buying into their busybody activities, not joining in their gossip. You know, you could see how that would all work. Not to agree with the things they're saying against the apostle, perhaps distancing yourself from them. It would have been awkward to distance yourself from someone in this tight group. Very awkward. But Paul wants it that way. He wants the idle and disruptive person to feel ashamed in the hope that they'll change their ways. Out of care for them, he gives these instructions. But what does it look like for us now? How do we make someone feel ashamed for being idle? Could be fun trying. Do we put bouncers on the door here on Sunday morning and refuse entry to the lazy? Do we have some sort of method of working out what you've done during the week? If you watch too much telly, forget it, gone. Maybe it's more like not allowing ourselves to be drawn into the gossip and the banter as you're talking together. To be the one to say, actually, I don't think it's appropriate to talk that way about that, but ooh, that's awkward. Maybe that's the way this might be put into practice by us, perhaps. Maybe it's needing to decline invitations to be involved in their frivolous activity. Maybe it's that. And to explain, well, I can't do that because I'm a Christian and I want to be busy. And to the point where you feel awkward saying it and they feel awkward, maybe that's... I'm trying to feel out what this might look like, because I think these verses are the tricky part and the bit where it's worth you continuing to talk about it. So 3 verse 14, it takes you back to where we started in 3 verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. This warning to distance yourself from that sort of behaviour. So that brings us to the end of 2 Thessalonians. As you keep working down, this is just the farewell and this reminder that it's actually Paul that's writing this letter, which when you think about 2 verse 1, there's these rumours of Jesus having returned. He's saying, no, this is me this time, and this is what I say. So we finished looking at 2 Thessalonians. As you look back, it's a group. He's writing to this group of relatively new Christians who are hanging out for Jesus to return. It's like they're in the back seat of the car saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And Paul goes, no, no, but you're doing really well. Keep trusting, keep growing, keep active. Don't be unsettled by these lies that Jesus has returned. Stand firm in the gospel of Jesus. And in today's little passage, keep busy, keep active. And as you think about that, you'll see his prayers for them. Pray that they would be active, working out their faith. It's kind of fun looking at a nice short letter in the New Testament. Next week, Wes will take you into one of the Gospels, but I'm going to pray for us now that we wouldn't be idle as Christians. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us your word in the Bible. Thank you that it is easy for us to read and to understand. Lord, please help us to be active and busy in our faith. Please help us to be seeking to grow as Christians. And Lord, please help us to think about verses 14 and 15 and how it might apply for us to be encouraging each other to be busy, even when it means making others feel awkward. Lord, we pray that as a group of believers, we pray that we would have a reputation for being active as Christians, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.